You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hello, Suzanne.
Good one.
Can you hear my...
Now, is that the little trick that you said, or that's some other, you know, voice changer type thing?
No, it's purely accidental. It's pretty bitching, though, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It just sounds like, you know, like testosterone through the roof suddenly. It turned into Barry White. What happened? Oh. Yikes. It's frightening. You're a Batman villain.
Do you like it? Oh, it'll be good for the Halloween episode.
Yeah, so. It works. But I don't know. It feels like you're under some kind of duress or.
No, I'm all good. Everything's great.
Okay.
Hi, kids. How's everybody doing? This is Mickey Mouse, but I'm the demonic Mickey Mouse.
What the?
I told him he sounded like a Batman villain.
Dude, all of a sudden I come back to that.
Oh, Barry White. Yeah.
You know what? Don't explain it. Things work out better when it's like my imagination only. So I'm good.
Okay.
You don't have to tell me that he sounded like a demonic Barry White or something.
I only know 2 Barry White lyrics. And do you want to know those? Take off that brassiere, my dear. I don't want to see no panties. Do you know that song? I'm not kidding.
I don't know that song.
I don't know that song, but I know we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. So.
Well, you guys, at least on my end, you guys sound perfectly normal, and you're not clicking every time you say a word. So,
okay.
If you guys can tolerate my my deeper timber, then
I'll deal with it.
Shall move forward.
But do you guys record that? You use your mic on the one last night?
No.
You didn't use a new one. Okay.
No. No, because that was 1984 New Wave, and I didn't want to throw this voice out there for that.
This is better suited for horror movies. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. I'm with you. All right. Well, I feel like I haven't talked to both of you together in like a while. I know I've talked to you individually, but not like together. So it's good to have the band back together again.
Yay. Okay. Yeah, I think it's been since like 1981.
So happy together.
All right. We're in a weird mood already. I love it.
I guess. Kind of giddy weekend thing happening.
Where do we start? My thought process was we starting with the Essentials Lost Boys.
I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we were doing the other. The other horror movies. But I guess I can go with Lost Boys whenever you want.
What were your thoughts going into this? Were you thinking that we were just going to go start Jaws and then go as many as we can go or what?
I thought we were going to start with Jaws, but whatever.
Okay. Well, the only reason why I thought Lost Boys is because, in my brain, I'm like, well, you know, that has to land on Halloween. So that's why I had it in my brain that we had to do that first.
All right, and Lost Boys is going to be its own thing. It's not combined with the others.
Correct.
Okay.
And it can be a shorter episode.
Right, correct. It doesn't have to be a longer, in-depth review.
All right, I'm up for it. I've seen that movie multiple times, so.
Okay. And the Essential Movie thing, there's no requirement to have seen it, like, any time recently. I can attest to that. I've been barreling through those to just, you know, relying on gray matter only. I'm sure that there's many a descriptions that I'm talking about these movies, and I've gotten them completely off base and wrong. But luckily, nobody's corrected me, so it's all good.
How's the rice, David? Sorry, I'm gonna have fun with this. I can't help it. Right. Okay. I can't hear what it sounds like. I can't wait to play it back in the recording mode.
You seem a little uninhibited. Like it doesn't, like you don't really have to take responsibility for what you're saying if it doesn't sound like your voice.
It's not me.
Well, okay, that could be kind of dangerous.
But I still have this.
Tully?
It is Saturday night, you know.
Ah,
it's only 4 o'clock,
Ice cubes. 5 o'clock, not, where I am.
Yeah, I'm gonna say not in my neck of the woods.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. yeah, actually, I had a cup of coffee, so that's where I'll move on to the. Depending on how long this discussion goes, I might need to break and go get the bourbon.
All right.
All right. So yeah, let's just jump right in then. Let's do this. You know what? Do that thing that I do, recording, and I am recording. Okay, so jumping right in, we're going to insert our bumper here.
This is 80 Something Podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the beat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
You or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe! Be it to each other.
Party on, dudes!
All right, I am Dave, and this is Bonsai Retro Club. When you are listening to this, it's going to be All Hallows Eve 2019. So for all you retro maniacs out there, we want to say thank you for listening. You know, you probably, if you're listening to this in the morning, you probably just finished your monster cereal, be it either Frankenberry or Count Chocula or maybe even Boo Berry. You're probably thinking you're going to put on your BJ Cooper, Yoda, Star Wars costume tonight and go out trick-or-treating. But we have a public service announcement for you. The Surgeon General has determined that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are really bad for you. So what we need you to do is all those that you collect, please send them to Bonsai Retro Club, Attention Dave, and I'll make sure they get properly disposed of. So we're going to do that for you because we care about our listeners. So what we're doing today is on All Hallows Eve, we're talking with through one of our essential movie podcasts. Usually I do these things solo, but today I have got Scott on.
Hello.
With the deep voice, courtesy of his new mic, and Suzanne.
Hi. Just regular voice, though.
Regular voice, Suzanne.
Can I giggle now at the yes. Reese's thing?
You totally can, of course. You could have giggled earlier. I would have been fine with that. You wouldn't have interrupted me. Okay. But what was your favorite monster cereal, Suzanne?
Oh, I like the Boo Berry, definitely.
You're a Boo Berry. Okay. I was Frankenberry.
Yeah, with that pretty little blue, though. That wasn't the milk turned blue. It was nice. Yep.
And then, Scott, where were you at? What was your fave?
I would probably lean towards the Count Chocula, but I don't remember which one I actually preferred.
Okay, guys, could you hold on 1 second? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, those cereals were classic. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. I remember Boo Berry was always the hardest to find, though.
I guess so. And the chocolate one probably tasted the best, but I don't know, the blue was prettier.
Yeah. Yeah, I was more of a Frosted Flakes person or Crunch Berries. Not necessarily the monster ones. Where did Dave go? Did somebody take Dave? Dave's not here.
Maybe he's answering the door for trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that could be it. Nice.
Let's go with it.
Since it's Halloween and all.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I didn't prepare any Halloween sound effects. Maybe I could scream. Of course, then I wouldn't be able to talk the rest of the podcast. Yeah. But we're good screamers in my family. Big singer's lungs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, we carry on this conversation until Dave gets back. My daughter's first job was, we lived down here by an amusement park. Like, Dorney Park is like 20 minutes away. So her first job was in the haunts at Dorney Park, you know, where they do like the whole scary fall theme. Mm-hmm. And I took her for the audition, and because she couldn't even drive yet. And I told her, listen, you can really scream if you try to. So it's like, you go back there and you scream for those people. And so I sat and she went, they all went backstage and I'm sitting out in the audience in some kind of auditorium. But I could hear it when it was her turn to audition because she did the scream and they hired her.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
Veronica. So now forever she gets to list on her resume that her, you know, her first job was, you know, screaming, dying woman in cage or something like that. And,
sorry about that. Another.
Oh, we're back. Okay.
Yeah, another jump in with my son. Apparently, because
they win last night?
No, they ended up not playing because of the weather.
Oh, that's right. You guys are having some kind of icky weather up there. Got it. Oh, but it's Halloween. We don't know what the weather is yet.
There's going to be plenty to edit out now, I think.
Yeah. Okay. You decided you were off talking to trick-or-treaters and answering the door.
Oh, see, now that's a good segue. I wish I didn't blow that with what I said. All right, so where the hell were we? We're talking about it. You liked Count Chocula, Scott.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said Frankenberry, and Suzanne said Booberry. So,
okay. So I guess it represents, you know, the whole trifecta of scary breakfast cereals.
We do.
And that was all of it, right? Those the only three?
I think so.
I don't know. I just remember those three. There may have been others. Let's get on topic here. I segued right at the beginning because hell I can. And that's the way I roll. But the essential movies, for those that are already familiar with the format, already familiar with kind of how we do this or why we're doing it, then you can just kind of tune out for the next 20 seconds. But for any of our new listeners, our newbies, what we're doing is I found the list on RottenTomatoes.com of the 140 essential 1980s movies. This is their editorial staff. They said these movies are the ones that everybody's got to go watch. We've been counting down an episode through that list. So we started at 140. We're working our way to number one. This episode itself is another one of those that's a significant episode because after this one, we're going to double digits. So we worked our way through all the triple digit numbers, and now we're at number 100. And that being 1987's The Lost Boys. Very apropos for Halloween. We thought we would post it specifically on that day because we knew that it was just one of those great movies. What I normally do to set up the movie is that I insert the trailer, so I will be doing that here in the edit process.
Michael and Sam have just moved to Santa Carla, California. They're about to discover its secret.
Notice anything unusual about Santa Carla yet?
No. It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
When you scream.
Brother Sammy, help me!
Stay back! Stay back!
What's happening to me, Star?
Get yourself a good sharp stick. Drive it right through his heart.
You're a vampire, Michael! My own brother, a damn blood-sucking vampire!
Oh, you wait till Mom finds out, buddy!
When a vampire buys it, it's never a pretty sight.
Michael, they're coming! Oh, shit!
And then I also asked Google, hey Google, tell us about Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys is a 1987 movie directed by Joel Schumacher, starring Kiefer Sutherland, Corey Feldman, and Alex Winter.
And then, hey Google, give us a synopsis of Lost Boys.
Here's the synopsis of The Lost Boys. Teenage brothers Michael Jason Patrick and Sam Corey Higham move with their mother, Diane Wyest, to a small town in Northern California, while the younger Sam meets a pair of kindred spirits in geeky comic book nerds Edward Corey Feldman and Alan Jameson Newlander. The angst-ridden Michael soon falls for star Jamie Gertz, who turns out to be enthralled to David Kiefer Sutherland, leader of a local gang of vampires. Sam and his new friends must save Michael and Star from the undead.
That is a fantastic synopsis. My question, you're brand new to a town. You don't really fit in with anybody. You haven't found your clique yet. You meet this girl. You're kind of fallen, you know, infatuated with her. Find out her name is Star. And, you know, she introduces you to some of her friends, right? You know, and one of them is kind of an edgy kind of guy, a little bit dark. But he's cool because he shares his noodles with you. So you're like, you know, he can't be all that bad. And he's showing you the nightlife of, you know, this small town in California. And you're like, all right, well, maybe he's not that bad. But where do you draw the line? Do you draw the line at drinking blood? Or do you draw the line from hanging upside down as a train goes over it? I think I would have drawn the line at drinking blood. Where are you guys at with that?
I don't know if I would have believed the blood thing.
You would have done it. You wouldn't. Fuck it. Let's go.
Well, no, I don't know. I wouldn't have believed that it was blood to begin with. But I don't know. When they didn't they like ride the motorcycles like over a cliff? I think that might have given me some hesitation.
You would have stopped then. You would have been like, nope,
yeah,
I'm not playing with this one. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Deep Voice Scott, where you at? Where do you draw the line?
I kind of like the railroad track scene where they're all standing on top of it and then slowly they drop between the tracks or over the edge of the tracks.
Right.
And then they're all hanging up underneath the tracks, and then they all let go of the tracks and drop into the fog that you can't see. It was just a pretty radical scene.
No, it was, but I mean, would you do that?
Yeah, I'd totally drop.
No, well, after a while, I think you don't have a choice.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're hanging there, you're going down.
Yeah. So it's I don't know. I don't know where I would draw the line. I don't know if I'd be hanging out with those people in the first place. Although Jamie Gertz was Star was very cute, and I might be willing to go and do some crazy things with her. So who knows?
So with her, yeah. So, yeah. But you know, when she introduced her to her friends, then you'd be like,
Kiefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. But you know, the other thing that makes him kind of cool though, is one of them looks like, Bill Esquire from Wild Stallions. And you got to appreciate that.
Well, it is Bill S.
No, I'm still acting as if I don't know who the actor is. No. It was a joke.
Alex Winters.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's funny that they gave him top billing on the Google mini when you asked for the tell us about the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
It said Kiefer Sutherland, Corey Feldman, and
Alex Winter. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, where's Jason Patrick?
He's the main character. Yeah, what happened to poor Jason Patrick?
What about the other Corey? Do we always forget about the other Corey, Corey Haim?
Yeah. The Coreys were, this was definitely a big Corey staple right here. You know, the Corey
brothers. Oh, absolutely. The Coreys.
Yeah.
Well, it sucked to be a secondary Corey. But the thing is, he had the bigger role, though. Corey Haim had a bigger role in the film.
Yeah, he actually had more of an important role than Corey Feldman.
And you know, in all honesty, I think the grandfather is way more creepier than Kiefer. he was out there, man. He was, you know, just out there kind of doing his own thing, and then
But with the taxidermy and stuff, that was pretty creepy. It's true.
You're talking about Bernard Hughes' grandpa. Okay, yeah.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Are you Googling?
No, I have. Well, I had it up in front of me. I have IMDb in front of me.
You can't.
Yes, I'm cheating.
It's cheating. Cheating. I'm calling it right here.
Accept it, Dave. I'm cheating.
You can do that with the other podcast. You can't do that with the Essential Movies. We can't look at IMDb.
Okay, I'm closing the window now.
I'll wing it.
Okay.
I know this movie pretty well, though, I have to say.
Cool.
Windows closed.
All right. So, what makes this iconic? What is it about this movie that makes it an essential movie in your mind, Suzanne?
It keeps a sense of humor. And let's see. One thing about those vampires. This is a really cool vampire movie in that. The vampires, they're very stylized. They have all these cool, like, embroidered leather, you know, denim jackets and stuff, and long hair, and they're all gelled up, and, you know, they look really cool. They're very attractive, you know, in in a lot of different senses. And I think that's much, I mean, if you look at Twilight, I mean, they're part of the mystique there. They're supposed to be all, you know, very beautiful, etc. But they don't have a lot of style, you know, they're just like regular kids in t-shirts and stuff. These guys were very stylized 80s kind of rock and roll looking people. So, or undead.
So they're very new wave kind of vampires.
Yeah, pretty much. And not, I mean, they didn't really play new wave in the film. I think there's some like Van Halen going on in the background or something. It's a little more like a little more classic, I think. But they're the hairdos in the gel and the long hair in the back. That was all more of kind of a new wave type of look.
Okay.
They also used People Are Strange from The Doors.
It's true.
One of the songs. And then another song was it was the concert scene where Michael meets Sar for the first time, and that's it was a song by a group called The Call. And it was a song called I Still Believe. But then they had this big buff dude playing the saxophone, singing it on the in the movie, which was a slightly different version of the original. But
I bet that wasn't really him singing.
I don't think so either.
But I remember him. It was hard to forget.
Mm-hmm. Well, my favorite song from there is Cry Little Sister.
Oh, dude, Cry Little Sister is the best.
Yeah.
The whole soundtrack is really a good soundtrack, and Cry Little Sister is at the top of the list for that soundtrack. And I do like People Are Strange. I mean, I've been a Doors fan for a long time, so the remake of it was pretty well done for the movie.
It really worked with that first boardwalk scene.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So Scott, why is it an essential movie?
I think the timing for me was critical. Because it was part of being that age, and that's the people in it may not be the Brat Pack, but they definitely were in the same generation as the Brat Pack. So it just, you know, Kiefer and Jamie Gertz and Jason Patrick and the Coreys, like we were saying, they all kind of fell into that same generation of actors that I think we all kind of liked, you know, we all growing up then we all kind of fell towards, and I just thought it was a really cool version of a vampire movie that nobody had really come up with before. Near Dark was close, and it's right around the same time with Bill Paxton. I think it was Bill Paxton in that one anyway, but this one I just always thought it was the best vampire movie that came out, and I would put it up against Twilight any day of the week.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
As far as fun to watch and interesting and creepy and all that stuff.
Yeah. For me, it's a great 1980s time capsule because incorporates mm-hmm. so much of what was iconic for the 1980s, and it threw it into a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot to what Suzanne was talking about, you know, there was the style. It was just 80, it reeked 80s style, and it, in a good way.
Absolutely. Yeah. The clothing, like the clothing you were talking about with the clothing.
Right.
Think about how some of it could have been taken from like the movie Breakin', like when they were doing breakdancing. Some of that clothing could have been from that. It was maybe just a little more beat up, but it had a very similar feel, like snaps and zippers
and studs and
darks. Yeah. The dark, the worn in leather, kind of almost punkish, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's really got a lot of cool style in it.
Yeah. And you know, for those that are keeping track, that's strike two for Scott. Because first strike was looking up in IMDb. Second strike is bringing up Breaking as we're talking about Lost Boys. What?
No, you can't.
It was a big 80s thing, though, the whole breakdance cult.
No, I was talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry.
That's a great movie. You better shut your mouth. You shut your mouth, Dave.
Ooh, nice. You're going to become the evil overlord. All right, so I don't know. I don't want to belabor this too much, but I guess real quick, if you had to pick a favorite scene from Lost Boys, Scott, what would it be?
I don't know. I kind of go with the initial scene of them meeting, like with the motorcycles and the railroad track. I thought that was really a great hook to really get you thinking, like, oh, where's this going to go? So that's always a scene that kind of stands out for me. Other than that, I really like the whole movie. Okay. It's pretty even keeled. There's no like really slow parts that I don't like. So although the singing when Corey Haim was singing in the bathtub, that was pretty good too.
yeah.
I guess if I had to pick my favorite, it would probably be the cave scene where they're all sitting around and you kind of have Kiefer on his throne, like there in the middle of everybody, holding court, if you will. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was very iconic for, you know, the what they were trying to relay as vampires and, you know, just kind of a badass, cool way of kind of depicting everything. It was just a great scene and scary as shit, but you know, you'd have that person that doesn't know what he's into and doesn't know to be scared, but you know, you as the you know, the viewer, you're like, there's some shit coming down now, you know, and you, the only thing you're really missing was the ominous music.
So, that was a cool scene. It gave the feeling of them all like that. The film is aptly named. That scene in the cave, you kind of got the feeling of them all being like orphans, like in the streets, and they're on their own, which is like kind of exciting when you're that age, but then it's also like kind of really frightening, like what the hell's gonna happen, you know?
Right.
You could be drinking blood and, you know, turned into an inhuman. So it played on kind of the angst, I think, that you felt as a young person saying, well, I don't know that I want to still be living with my divorced mom and my grandpa. You know, I want to be out on my own. But then the world is freaking scary. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Suzanne, do you have a favorite scene?
Let's see. I would agree that all the way through, this is a very cool movie. That it's consistently, it's good. My favorite part of the movie is probably the finale. I don't know if we like what's the policy here. Do we do spoilers? Are we assuming everybody's
spoil
listening?
It? Everybody's seen it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, you never know. You're going to be introducing this to a new, you know, generation of viewers. But in any case, I liked the whole finale where they describe beforehand that every vampire dies differently. You know, some their head is going to explode and some this and some that. And you go through and you get to see that with every one of them as each of them implode or, you know, spark and turn into, you know, an electric fountain or whatever happens to the bunch of them as they go through this whole finale, killing them one by one. And just the joke at the end is with the grandfather is great.
I forgot, what did he say? Was it just this town is too strange or something like that?
No, I think he blows through the living room with the shotgun or in his car with a shotgun and you know, blows the head off of the main lead father of the vampires and says something like, that's the worst thing about Santa Clara, too many vampires.
Yeah, that's
right. Or maybe,
right.
No, it's Santa Carla. It was like a play on Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Too many damn vampires.
Yep, that's right.
And then I think Jim Morrison comes up in the background again.
Perfect addition there for Jim.
Totally fun. Yeah.
All right. I agree with that. You tend to focus too much in the middle part, and when you know the shit's really going down and he's getting turned, and then you don't give enough credit to the payoff, which.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, definitely was.
And they did. They keep the sense of humor in the film. It's a creepy film. It's a really cool stylized film. But there are some freaking funny moments, and there's good performances in it. So it combined a lot of things to really keep you involved.
Yeah, and credit to the Frog Brothers.
They were funny.
Yeah, exactly.
They were funny kids.
All right, so this is the end of this specific episode. We'd like to remind everybody to go out to our website. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI, and follow along with all our social media endeavors. Suzanne, you've got a website. You want to tell everybody where that's at?
Yeah, SuzanneMattaboni.com, SuzanneMattaboni. So I've got some fiction on there and some blogs regarding the series that we're doing on New Wave Music year by year. I'm in some anthologies, etc. You can take a look. Also on Twitter and Instagram, Suze Mattaboni and Suzanne Mattaboni 80s. So I think that takes care of my stuff.
Cool. Deep Throat Scott, you got anything?
You can find me at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter. Or at
I'm scared. It's awe-inspiring.
all I have to say is have a happy Halloween.
that works well.
And be excellent to each other.
Yeah, and have a good whatever. So bye-bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 And on our next Essential Movie episode is going to be number 99, Eddie Murphy, Delirious, 1983.
Sister, thou shalt walk with me. scurrying strangers look on. When will they learn this loneliness? Temptation heat beats like a drum deep in your veins. I'll live my life, little sister.